This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Good news is, if you don't want to stay inside on what I hope for you is a pleasant, perfect weather fall Saturday. It's one of my favorite things about October. Well, then you can take the radio with you or DVR or one of those apps where you can go back and watch, because we got some really good matchups. Three of them coming inside divisions. Yankees, Royals, Guardians, Tigers, Phillies, Mets, Dodgers, Padres. We've got a poll up at Amy After Hours. Which of these division series is your can't miss? And I'll get this up on our Facebook page as well. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, phone number 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. 1 hour down, getting closer to a Friday. But in the meantime, we've got some Thursday night football to get to. I hope that you were buckled in, buckled up, strapped in, because this was one heck of a shootout right away. We saw both these quarterbacks locked in, and it kind of dawned on me because I did put that out on Twitter as I'm watching. And this was my setup. I had baseball on my TV in the living room, and in my lap, I had my laptop. With the football game on Amazon Prime. And I would mute. Well, I had the baseball game muted while the football game was going on. And then when the football game would go to commercial on Prime, then I would turn the audio up on the baseball game. And then when things started to get really interesting in the baseball game there in what was the seventh and then on into the ninth innings, well, then I had the football muted and actually paused it for a while and then went back and caught up before halftime. So the two games kind of worked pretty well together. Didn't cause a whole lot of stress or angst, but it's much easier to watch the football game on a laptop or a device because you don't have to worry about backing out of the app to change channels. So yeah, the remote thumb not needed on Thursday night. But maybe the tennis ball viewing, if you're at the stadium, this was one of those games that the guys were flying up and down the field. So it dawned on me as I was watching this and seeing how Kirk Cousins and Baker Mayfield were locked in. They were putting on a show. They were delivering passes on the money. They weren't tired from the short work week, but the defenses definitely were a bit slow on the uptake.
Snap to Kirk, wants to throw again. Shoots it, crossing route. Oh my goodness, London at the five. Touchdown, Atlanta. Drake London caught it and then bounced off a pewter helmet and falls into the end zone for his third touchdown catch of the year.
Baker Mayfield maybe changing the play. Kicks his right leg. Irving in motion. Bootleg roll out. Throws against the grain. Caught ball. Easy touchdown catch. Mike Evans. Number 98 in that illustrious career. His two-yard touchdown grab was a point away from tying tonight's ballgame. How about that?
How about that? Wes Durham on Falcons radio and then on Buccaneers radio, longtime play-by-play voice Gene Deckerhoff. So this was setting the tone for a first half that was back and forth, back and forth. As I say, your tennis neck when you're at a stadium, if you've ever been to a tennis match, and especially if you're sitting right about the net, you just are constantly back and forth. But see, I'm talking while I'm doing it and demonstrating. Your head's first to the right, then to the left, then to the right, then to the left. Not quite to the state of whiplash, but this particular game had you up and down the field, up and down the field. Seven scoring drives in the first half. The two teams combined for 41 points before the break, and the Buccaneers were up 24-17. Now, in the second half, the Buccaneers didn't have any touchdowns. They only managed a couple field goals. And Baker Mayfield was asked after the game, what did the Falcons do differently that changed the tone for your offense in the second half?
They definitely weren't playing as aggressive. They weren't pressuring as much, kind of dropping back and making us, you know, work our way down the field. But like I said, got to capitalize, got to keep the momentum going and find ways to end up in the end zone.
Yeah, it's tough when you get to the point where you feel like you finally got a little bit of momentum and then you have to settle for a field goal. So at one point, the Bucs had a 9-play drive that lasted 5 minutes, but all they got out of it were the 3 points. Right after that, Falcons go and score a touchdown and are able to tie the game. And so by leaving those points out there on the field, you're allowing the home team and its home fans to get revved up, feel like they've got a bit of a win because they only gave up 3 points and not seven. And then even in a game in which you're back and forth and both teams are scoring a ton, there's still opportunities there because you didn't make the most of your possessions. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yeah, for Baker Mayfield, love what he has, the connection he has with Mike Evans, the connection he has with Chris Godwin, even now Sterling Shepard, former Oklahoma teammate. But in the second half, a lot of ground being covered by Kirk Cousins and his Atlanta Falcons offense.
Cousins to the line quickly. No change in personnel. Snap to him. Kirk looks. Throws to the left side. Mooney the catch. Darnell at the foul. And Darnell a touchdown for the Falcons.
Wes Durham again on the Falcons radio network. So this is a 12-yard touchdown to Darnell Mooney that happens early in the fourth quarter. Yeah, again, you see them get back to even because they're able to get in the end zone where the Buccaneers did not in the second half, but it still was a bumpy ride after that. So another field goal drive for the Bucs. They take a 30-27 lead early in the fourth quarter. And then you've got the Falcons once again trying to play from behind. So what do? Well, they miss a field goal for Young Wei Koo. The interesting thing about him is last week he had a career-long 58-yarder in the final few seconds so the Falcons could win their game, right? And he was out there and he's hailed as the hero and people are talking about how he's automatic when they're able to edge the Saints in the final seconds, again, based on his career-long 58-yard field goal. So then, and this is just becoming routine now, right? 54 yards, 57 yards. A couple of times last weekend, we saw guys line up for 60-plus yard kicks. I mean, longer and longer kicks are becoming the norm. But he does have his 54-yarder blocked. And that's always a possibility when you've got guys who are great athletes, of course, on the other side of special teams. But when the kick is longer, it's more likely to be blocked because of the lower trajectory as it's coming off of the foot. So, yeah, Koo's 54-yarder is blocked, and that's mid-fourth quarter. And then, as I say, there were some bumpy, a bit of a bumpy ride still, some topsy-turvy moments where both teams commit turnovers. You're talking about, at this point, 3-point separation, 3-point margin, and there's a fumble by Bucky Irving of the Bucks, for those of you who know what that is, and then an interception for Kirk Cousins. Back and forth they go. We're down to the final couple minutes. Buccaneers trying to protect that 3-point lead. And this is honestly where I feel like they lost the game. I know it went into overtime. They didn't touch the ball in overtime. The Buccaneers got the ball back with a minute 44 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. They're still up by three. So Falcons are still trailing by a field goal. And they are unable to get a first down. They have a couple of penalties, including an offensive holding penalty that negates a 7-yard gain. And they're unable to get the first down. And so they end up going backward. They also got stuffed for a loss on their first down carry. Managed to keep the ball for a grand total of 30 seconds. So they take almost no time off the clock and give the ball right back to Kirk Cousins, who is working on a career game. So that, to me, was the biggest miss for the Buccaneers, is that they were unable to keep the ball away from Kirk Cousins. And we had, again, just seen him against the Saints the week before, able to engineer a drive in which the Falcons are able to snag that victory at the very end. And so for Kirk Cousins, this had to feel comfortable. He did it against the Eagles earlier in the year, remember? 1 minute and 14 seconds. That's when they get the ball. And he's already in a rhythm. He starts out with a couple of passes that get them some chunk yardage, and he's feeling it.
Snap to Cousins. He's looking to cut it loose quick. Does. In the middle of the field, that's London. 8 seconds. 7, 6. Atlanta runs to the line now. Noozle up over the football. 3, 2. Spike it. They did it with one to go.
Looking to tie the game. Snap. Placement. Kick on the way. The kick from Kuhl is good. Overtime in Atlanta.
That's the call with Westwood One, Ian Eagle on the Westwood One radio network. And before that, again, Wes Durham on Falcons radio. So after Tampa Bay goes 3 and out and gives the ball back to Kirk Cousins, he hits 3 passes, including the 14-yarder to Drake London, who was huge in this game, with 12 seconds left. They have to hustle. They get up to the line. They spike it. And at this point, I'm listening to the Westwood One call. But in both cases, on the national call and the local call, they're counting down. Stressful, because they got to get up and spike the ball in order to still have time for Kuhl to kick the 52-yarder. So his 54-yarder is blocked. Oh, and actually, I think it's worth noting that they end up getting a penalty, and it gets pushed back farther than what they originally thought. So yes, Kuhl is still able to operate under pressure. They did not make it easier for him. I'm trying to remember what the penalty was. Oh, it was a delay of game. Yeah, so with 1 second on the clock, it's initially going to be 5 yards shorter. It's going to be inside of 50 yards. Instead, he's got to line up and kick it again, and it's 52 yards, and it forces overtime. And in overtime, once again, Kirk Cousins, he's able to find his receivers, find his targets, stay in rhythm, and this one never went back to the Bucs.
Pistol formation, motion man Mooney, Robinson in the backfield, the throw from Cousins, it's caught at the 40, moving upfield, Hodge, he could go! 10-5, touchdown! That is a winner for the Atlanta Falcons!
The call on Westwood One, and once the Buccaneers gave up that football on their 3 and out with a minute 14 left in the game, they never saw it again. And that, to me, the major turning point, the big fail by the Buccaneers. Now, both these teams are 3-2, so they're done with week 5. I know it's easier to take that mini bye and enjoy the time off, the long weekend, if you've got the victory. And this is yet another for Kirk Cousins in which he and the Falcons have got to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat in the final minutes. So Cousins sets not just a franchise record, but a career high with 509 passing yards. I don't know what that says about the Buccaneers defense. He goes 42 of 58, ties his career high with four touchdown passes, 509 yards. They didn't run the ball, not a whole lot, not effectively against the Bucs. So he had most of the team's 550 yards of offense. And how about this? 81 plays for the Falcons. The reason that stood out to me is because they had 30 more snaps with the football. 30 more snaps than did the Buccaneers. That's a lot of real estate to make something happen. And so, yeah, Kirk Cousins to Kadarryl Hodge for the walk-off win.
Man coverage, you know, he's able to kind of split the defense. And at that point, you know, there's a reason we have him on our football team because he can pull away from people. And what an unbelievable play.
For sure. And I did see Hodge on TV, so hopefully we'll grab some of that audio. But what a neat moment for him. If you remember, he was the one who fell on the ball in the end zone after the Saints muffed a – do you remember they muffed a – it was either a punt? I think it was a punt, not a kickoff. So they muffed a punt at the start of their game last week, and Hodge fell on it in the end zone. So two very dramatic scores for him in these last 2 weeks. Raheem Morris is thrilled with Kirk Cousins, thrilled with the way that he's seen him grow into this role.
And this game is all about confidence. This game is going out there getting better and better every single week. And that's what he's been doing since he's been back. You know, he's coming off a significant injury, and I've watched him get better every single week. And we kind of talked about it, what he went from Pittsburgh to he went to all throughout the games, and every single week has been better, whether it's been explosives, whether it's been execution, whether it's just a rhythm and routine with him and Zach and our offensive staff. I mean, it's just getting better and better. That's what happened today.
Obviously, really tough way to lose for Todd Bowles and Baker Mayfield. He has some pretty impressive stats as well, but gosh, never got the ball back.
Just back and forth. You know, obviously, every time we got the ball back in the fourth quarter, trying to hit the mindset and tell the guys, you know, we need to finish with this, finish the right way, end with points, and put this game away. And then once they're driving fourth quarter, just realizing that we need to hit the reset button, get ready for overtime. Obviously not getting a chance to go out there just based on the rules, but not ideal for us.
Well, based on the rules and the fact that the Falcons scored a touchdown. So Mayfield, 19 of 24, still really efficient, 180 yards, three touchdowns. They waste 160 yards rushing. And so they didn't have the ball nearly as much, and they didn't have as many plays. But, man, they made do with what they had just until that last possession. Well, it really the last two, because he had Bucky Irving had the fumble, and then they go three and out when they had a chance to keep the ball away from the Falcons. Straight ahead, TJ Reeves, sideline reporter for the Buccaneers Radio Network, will join us to talk about their sidelines and, of course, the start for the Bucs now 3-2, tied with the Falcons atop the South standings. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Pistol formation, motion man Mooney, Robinson in the backfield, the throw from Cousins, it's caught at the 40, moving upfield, Hodge, he could go, 10-5, touchdown, that is a winner for the Atlanta Falcons.
We had opportunities on both sides of the ball, we didn't finish, we did some good things, we did a lot of bad things to lose the ball game, so you know, we'll get some rest, we'll get some health, guys healthy, and we'll get ready for next week. We got a good football team. We didn't finish the game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Ian Eagle with the final call as the Westwood One and local radio both get treated to quite the finish of Thursday night football. It was a shootout early, and then it was a lot tenser late in the game. So that's Ian on Westwood One, and then you hear Todd Bowles talking about the tough loss. Later said the team couldn't tackle, and it was evident that the offenses were a step faster and a little bit more energy than the defenses. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're pleased to welcome our friend TJ Reeves, who is the Bucks sideline reporter and also a host on their radio network. TJ, what changed in the second half after the Bucks put up 24 in the first half?
Well, first of all, it's good to be with you late night after getting back from Atlanta, and what a ball game. I think the biggest Baker Mayfield came right out and said it, put this on us. We did not finish drives with touchdowns. We had a couple of golden opportunities to put 7 points on the board, and if we do, it doesn't come down to a tying field goal. They're going to have to get in the end zone. And it's debatable about whether Kirk Cousins was going to be able to do that. He certainly did in week two in Philadelphia. But, man, you talk about what might have been. You had the feeling towards the end of that game, we'll get into it, the Buccaneers made two or three significant plays, Amy, that should have won them that game. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Hmm. But you give a team life. You give Kirk Cousins life. My Lord, he throws for 500 yards. He's going to find a way, and he did find a way.
So while we're on the Cousins offense, and, yeah, you point out it's a career high, it's a franchise record. When Todd Bowles says they couldn't tackle, what did you see?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the defense is beat up. Everybody's got injuries right now, but you're on a shorter week. You're already playing without Antoine Winfield, who may be the best safety in the NFL. And Antoine's out now for a fourth straight game with a foot injury suffered week one. You lose Jordan Whitehead, your other Pro Bowl caliber safety, in the game in the second half. You're literally playing two undrafted free agents that are in the defensive backfield deep to go along with a couple of other guys that are undrafted players that you're now playing on the defense for much of that second half. And he's right. It's inexcusable how wide open people were and how missed tackles were still happening. So they've got a lot to clean up and to take a look at on the film. I will just say this, coming off of that game and coming off of that airplane, there's a lot that they did well, mm-hmm. despite giving up that yardage, and you had chances to win the game.
What was the atmosphere on the plane?
Quiet, as you can imagine. Much like the locker room, you were... again, on the verge, you have the ball not once but twice with a chance to kill the clock, kill the game. This is going back to what Baker Mayfield's talking about. You got the ball at the four-minute mark, where if you pick up a couple of first downs, you basically have won the game. You're going to force Atlanta to take all their timeouts. That's where the rookie Bucky Irving fumbled, had the ball stripped away. He didn't just fumble. He had it stripped away, didn't have two hands on the ball. But even still, you get the interception by Lavonte David, who is just having an amazing renaissance in his 13th season. Again, he's a future Hall of Famer. And you still can't kill the game after the interception. Atlanta takes their timeouts. The Buccaneers got a penalty and got out of field goal range. And it eventually leads to the opportunity for Atlanta to tie the game, which they did with Young Waku. But I think when they look back on this tomorrow and this weekend, they're going to look at those two opportunities on offense to finish the game, and Kirk Cousins never has a chance to be the hero.
I agree with you. In fact, I was just saying last segment as we're talking about the game and the turning points that that's got to be one that sticks with the Bucs. They go three and out. You talk about they get a tackle for loss, or they try to run Rashad White. He stopped for minus 3 yards, but also get a big offensive holding penalty. And once they give that ball up, they only keep it for 30 seconds. They give it back to Kirk Cousins. He's got plenty of time. They never see the ball again.
Yep, and you're right. And we were debating about whether they were going to try the Falcons with 12 seconds. It would be like a 58-yard field goal. It's close to it. He made that last week, or he made it 4 days ago in the same building. And so, because the fear was, if you do something and get tackled inbounds.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Can you get the clock stopped? Well, as it turns out, they executed again over the middle with about a 15-yard, 20-yard pass, and they were able to run up literally in about 8 or 9 seconds, 7 seconds maybe even, and get the clock stopped.
Yep.
Inexplicably, they got a delay of game after that. We didn't understand what was going on. I thought on our broadcast that maybe New York had buzzed in to see if they had stopped the clock in time with 1 second left. Instead, the refs looked at the Falcons. The Falcons looked at the refs and said delay of game. And I'm standing there saying, if they lose backing up 5 yards, what a gaffe after all of that. But Crew made the kick anyway, and then you played the highlight of what happened. And that's a special teams player that has not done really anything for them offensively. And, of course, he's the hero with the catch and run for the touchdown, Hodge.
TJ Reeves fresh off the sidelines in Atlanta for the Buccaneers Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. A lot before the game made, both on the national broadcast and I know locally as well, of how much Baker Mayfield has grown. Into this point, he's early in his second year with the Buccaneers, but how different is he from where he was a year ago, just starting out with Tampa?
He is a leader. It is obvious. He has that room. They are following him. And he didn't have overwhelming stats, but he played more than well enough to win them that game tonight. Again, he's frustrated because of the opportunities at the very end where they couldn't get the final first down or two. But, man, he made some tremendous throws, a couple of gutsy runs, just leading the team and running the offense. And you can tell right now the confidence he has that finally he has found a place where he can be the quarterback at a big, important level and be playing important football in December and January for the next 3 or 4 years. It's obvious that if he stays healthy, he's the guy in Tampa Bay, and there is a lot of respect and trust for him in that locker room and in this organization, and he's earned it. He's earned it with the way he played at the end of last year, and he's playing at a tremendously high level. I believe he began the game again tonight like 8 for 9, either 7 for 8, 8 for 9, something like that. This is on the heels of Sunday beginning the game against the Eagles, 12 of 13. He is playing at a very high level right now, Baker Mayfield.
We see that connection between him and Mike Evans flourishing, and the report on NFL Network, and I'm sure you've heard this yourself, but I heard it on NFL Network before the game, that Evans calls him one of the top three quarterbacks in the NFL. Man, from a Hall of Fame receiver who spent his entire career in Tampa, that's saying something.
The other thing it says is, get me the ball. And I'm giving you the prop. Get me the ball. And he got him the ball the first play of the game, and he got him the ball in the red zone on the first drive of the game for a touchdown, and he got him the ball again later on. So that's obviously part of it. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of – I mean, Mike Evans has caught passes from Tom Brady, by the way, recently. So he might be a pretty good judge on who's got what. And Baker, he threaded the needle late in the first half right in front of me in the red zone. They rolled out to the right, and I'm telling you, Amy, I've been doing this for a long time. That is one of those throws that you only see in the NFL, where the window is a split second between about three pairs of hands,
yep.
And he threw a rocket to Sterling Shepard in the back of the end zone. That just it reminds you of how elite and how talented these guys are when those plays happen. So Mayfield, again, has got a lot going for him. If he can stay healthy, he is a tremendously gutsy quarterback. You love him running around, maybe even to his own detriment, going after much bigger guys and lowering the shoulder. But, I mean, teams rally around that. His teammates see that and see how much he wants to win, and they want to play even harder for him.
What changes with this offense, or what has changed now that Dave Canales is gone, the OC from last year, who got a lot of credit for Baker's development? What has changed for the offense with the new OC?
So Liam Cohen was with Sean McVay for a couple of years in Los Angeles, and at the end of the 22 season, that's when Baker Mayfield came to the Rams for those four games at the end of the year. Remember, he won the Thursday night game, having only been there for like 48 hours. And Liam Cohen was part of that crash course. And it's not the only reason why Cohen got the job, but it was a big factor that he had some previous relationship, and they really like the motion. They like you saw three or four times tonight, they just barbecued the Falcons. They froze them with motion, misdirection. That's how Mike Evans got so wide open for the touchdown in the first half, is they sent motion to the left, rolled everybody to the right, and oh, wait a minute, sneak Mike out the backside to stand there by himself in the middle of the end zone. So the play designs that are there early on in the season make you think this offense can be a lot of fun with the motion, the misdirection, the weapons. We haven't even talked about the tight end, Cade Otton, or the second receiver, Chris Godwin, along with Rashad White, who you mentioned. I mean, who are you going to try to double cover over and over and over again?
Well, and Baker said that. If you're going to double cover Mike Evans, I'm going to find somebody else to get the ball to. The NFC South, maybe a little better this year. We're seeing the Saints that have started out with a lot of offense and a couple of wins, too. You're familiar with the Falcons. What does Kirk Cousins do for them?
Well, I can tell you tonight, he played with confidence. He stood in there despite getting whacked several times. He threw the ball 58 times in that game. And, you know, people talk about this that have had the ruptured Achilles. My father went through that years ago and said, you're not the same for not just a year, but maybe even a year and a half or 2 years. So it is going to be a work in progress for him to get through that Achilles tear that he had last year. But at field level, he was tremendous. And if you have a criticism, the Buccaneers probably did not do a good enough job with their front four getting after him. When you're dropping back 58 times, they got to him some of the time, occasionally, but they didn't get to him nearly enough to make a difference in that game. That's why he ends up throwing for 500 yards. And you're right, between the Falcons, the Saints, who the Bucs have next, and those three, Atlanta, New Orleans, and Tampa Bay, it's going to be fun to watch this race when we get to December and to January.
Before I let you go, TJ, because Canales is also in the division with the Panthers, they've already made a quarterback change. I know they're trying to find some type of stability there. But why do you believe in that he might be a guy who can make a change, make a difference?
He's a fantastic guy, first of all, and young, innovative. He's learning kind of on the job. And I view that situation, and I think a lot of us do from the outside, as a total rebuild, a total reclamation project. That is not going to be solved in 2024. You know this. It's going to be solved because they're a little better this year, and then they're significantly better probably next year. That's how you solve it. With the problems and the mistakes they made, and an owner that frankly has now probably learned you can't just suddenly fire the staff a second time after you've done it the first time and have upheaval of all the personnel you've lost, and then suddenly think, well, the third different staff that I have is suddenly going to win 8 or 9 or 10 games. That's not how it works. So Canales is up against it, but I really like him, and I think the Panthers will have some promise probably in 2025. You're not going to see a lot from them this year just because they don't have enough talent 1 through 22 on the starters to be competitive week in and week out and win games.
You can find TJ online at Buck, B-U-C, Buck Sideline Guy. He's not only their sideline reporter for games, but also does a lot of his own play-by-play and hosting different podcasts and everything else.
Yep.
He's all over the place. The voice is unmistakable, but based with those Bucks in Tampa, it's always good to catch up with you. Thank you so much, especially after a flight home.
Yeah, tough loss on this one. We got a couple of Monday night games coming up with the Ravens and the Chiefs. I'm happy to be back with you, hopefully on a cheerier note. Let's do it again.
All right, TJ, we'll talk soon.
Be well.
He is the guy, along with Sal Capaccio, who is the Buffalo sideline reporter. Those two dudes are willing to do radio at any time, and I love it. They bring such great passion. TJ has joined us at all kinds of hours of the night. And I remember even coming back from, I think it was London, so it's probably pre-Germany games. So coming back from London after a flight and a big victory for the Buccaneers. And he calls in, I believe it was producer Jay. He calls in or he texts Jay and he says, hey, I'm back. Would you like to hear about the trip to London? So we have him in the middle of the night after he gets back from the flight to London or home from London. So yeah, he's always game for radio. Good stuff. Good follow. Great pipes, of course. Really recognizable voice. We have got to put our very special Week 5 After Hours Game of the Week poll up. But if you're impatient and you're looking for another poll, you need to poll. We've already got spirited voting online for the division series. That's a can't miss in your eyes at Amy After Hours. And also, you need to check out our show Twix just because there's some fun Fever highlights and Caitlin Clark montages, really cool stuff. I know a lot of you are WNBA fans because of her. We'll get some of this stuff up on Facebook as well. And soon the After Hours Game of the Week poll. We got to get to more football and what's to come. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Dexter Henry.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, thank you, Amy. We start with baseball, where there was a decisive Game 3 of the NL Wildcard Series between the Mets and the Brewers, and the Mets added another thrilling comeback to their 2024 story.
3-1 to Alonso. Williams sets. Here's the pitch. Swing and a fly ball to right field. Pretty well hit. Freeland back at the wall. He jumps. It's gone. He did it. He did it. Pete Alonso with the most memorable home run of his career. Pumps his fist as he rounds second. It's a three-run homer. He's given the Mets a 3-2 lead. They all pour out of the dugout. Alonso on his way to home plate. They're waiting for him.
That's Howie Rose of the Odyssey Mets Radio Network. Pete Alonso hit a go-ahead three-run homer off closer Devin Williams in the ninth inning, and the Metropolitans beat the Brewers 4-2 on Thursday night to win their NL Wild Card Series. With the victory, the Mets advance in the playoffs for the first time since winning the 2015 National League pennant. They move on to a best-of-five division series beginning Saturday in Philadelphia against the NL East champion Phillies. Thursday night football saw Kirk Cousins putting in work. The Falcons quarterback carved up the Buccaneers' defense, throwing for a career-high 509 yards and 4 touchdowns. His team improved to 3-2 on the season with a 36-30 walk-off win. over the Bucks. In the NBA, with the trade becoming official between the Knicks and Wolves on Wednesday, both Karl-Anthony Towns and Julius Randle talked to the media on Thursday. Towns says he's looking forward to playing with Jalen Brunson.
Got to put the work in every single day, but he's an incredibly talented player. I think everyone knows that, so to be able to work with him in those situations is going to be fun.
Julius Randle, he shared his reaction on being traded from the Knicks.
That was a lot of emotion. You know, you spend a certain amount of time in a place, New York, you know, going there 5 years ago and, you know, having a goal in mind, you know, to accomplish a lot of great things and, you know, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears putting into, you know, that organization uniform.
Knicks and Wolves play in the preseason on October 13th. I'm Dexter Henry.
Hey, like us on Facebook. Our handle is INF Sportsnet. That's INF Sportsnet for our Facebook page. This is the Infinity Sports Network.
Play action fake. A left side throw. It's a high overthrown and intercepted. Second takeaway in as many drives for the Chargers and up the sideline. And it's now the ball's out. And I think the Chiefs have it back at the 19. An interception thrown by Mahomes. It was picked off by Christian Fulton. And now the Chiefs get it back. And Rashee Rice is down with an injury. He is down helmet first, arching his back.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Mitch holds us on Chiefs Radio, and the Chiefs are moving forward without Rashee Rice, at the very least, for the next 4 weeks because he's been put on IR. So they do not have him available until that stretch is over anyway. We still don't have the definitive word about his knee injury. The fear from the Chiefs and the one that was reported widely was about a torn ACL, and it really is painful to go back and look at it. I'm sure for Patrick Mahomes, he grimaces and he cringes every time. He didn't even realize when it happened. He was trying to make a tackle of Christian Fulton, who was coming up the sideline after having picked him off. And Rashee Rice was behind Fulton and punched the ball away. But in the fray, Mahomes goes down low and ends up barreling into Rice, into his legs, his lower legs. And the knee, the legs seemed to hyperextend. And that's when the injury occurred. But Patrick said he had no idea at the time. We knew that Rice wasn't going to play on Monday against the Saints. And it's still at this point, Kansas City is holding out hope that he will be able to avoid surgery for a torn ACL. They're waiting on the swelling to go down in the knee before they go through testing. And for anybody who's played sports or if you've covered sports extensively, you know this is often what happens with an ACL and maybe other knee injuries as well. But the swelling is so bad that they wait a little bit before they do surgery, before they do more testing, because they want to make sure they have as clear a picture as they possibly can. They're still holding out hope that he will not have a completely torn ACL. And, you know, for Andy Reid, for the rest of that locker room, at this point, they have to game plan without him. And for at the very least, he's on IR. And for Patrick, yeah, he said he had no idea that it was happening when it did.
I didn't notice it in the moment. I was more worried about trying to get the ball. But yeah, I mean, obviously, he's just trying to make a play, and it happens whenever you're trying to make tackles.
Mahomes and Rice had become the best combo outside of Travis Kelce, and we know he hasn't started out like a house on fire. I'm sure at some point this season, many times this season, they will connect for touchdowns, but at some point, they'll be able to exploit what is a long history together. But in terms of wide receivers, Rashee had stepped into that spot where he and Mahomes had the deep connection, the deep threat, and really were on the same page. And already he had started out through the first few games, and he was hurt pretty early in that when he was hurt in the first quarter of their game last week against the Chargers. But he was already leading them with 24 catches and nearly 300 yards receiving, and had a couple of touchdowns too. So we had talked to at least one Kansas City reporter, one one football reporter who had just pointed out that this was going to be the relationship and the receiver that was going to help with the stability, especially early on without a whole lot from Travis Kelce, that it was going to be Rashee Rice who was going to carry this team forward until Isaiah Pacheco could return, until they could find a rhythm with some of the other guys they've brought on board. But we know Hollywood Brown, he's also injured. So this is it's a rough situation for Patrick Mahomes to be in. He will readily admit he's not played his best football, but when everything around him is changing year after year other than Kelce, it's hard to maintain that consistency. So Rice was a tie between last year and this year, kind of a bridge that would help them settle in, and now he's gone for what may be the rest of the season. And yeah, I'm sure Mahomes feels like crap.
When I saw the replay, I felt like that I hit Rashee. I mean, I think that's pretty much all. I mean, I wasn't really worried about myself. I was worried about hopefully his injury and hopefully that it wasn't as bad as it looked, because I was the one that hit him.
Yeah, that's rough. Of course it was not intentional. Of course he was just doing what he thought he needed to do to prevent Fulton from getting any farther up the sidelines with that pick. But at the same time, just the way that he was down on the ground and kind of rolling forward, or colliding, I should say. He was actually kind of rolling backward. But the way that he rolled into Rashee was just, it's one of those freak injuries. And you think, man, these guys, they survive so many hits. They're able to get through so much week after week, especially Rashee, who's out there all the time battling DBs and safeties and trying to make room for himself. And then he gets taken out by his own guy. So that really stinks. And I am also hoping for the best, but at the very least, because of the knee injury, he is on IR. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Looking at the standings in the NFL, we know there are just two teams now that have perfect records. Not perfect teams, but perfect records. And that's a huge deal for the Chiefs. I'm not telling you they're going to win anything again, but the fact that even with all of these injuries, they've managed to get to 4-0, even with the fact that their offense is nowhere near in sync and Mahomes has not settled in yet, they've managed to win four games. That puts you ahead of not just the rest of your division that's all 2-2, but also gives you a leg up. If you have a couple of games where you're really missing that offense, I mean, the defense has been game, we know that for sure, but it's important and I think also impressive and screams volumes about these two teams, that they're the two teams that are 4-0, that they're able to get this kind of start after a month in which consistency is always hard to come by. Hey, by the way, I'm watching NFL Network, and I'm sure you're not surprised. This is the second time they're replaying Thursday Night Football since the broadcast was done. On the TV on top, so we have two TVs that are kind of sitting one on top of each other. I was watching MLB Network. Terrific. Well, someone's screwing around with the channels because it's now, let me guess, it's going to go to Telemundo because that seems to be the channel that the New York Morning Show needs to watch. Every single morning they watch Telemundo. They change our channels. We share TVs or TV networks, I should say. And so every single morning they come in and they change the channels. And I've asked before, why Telemundo? None of you speak Espanol. And the answer I got is, oh, they're just so happy. Oh, they're so happy. So while you're doing your own radio show that's also aired on TV, and while you're focusing on 4 hours of quality entertainment for your primarily New York audience, you're also watching Telemundo because they're so happy. All right. Well, I'm going to have to walk in there and say, hey, I need my MLB Network back. Thanks. We're going to have to share. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.